Toby Rowland, the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, taking time out of his schedule to join us. Toby, first of all, welcome back to the show. And I don't think I'm mincing words at all when I talk about the fact that, and how beautiful is it too? Here we are going into the third Saturday of November. I've got 11 teams still with hopes of being one of those four college football playoff teams. That includes the two teams that will be battling it out tonight in Waco.
Yeah, that's great. It's always great to be on with you, Johnny. That's the fun thing about this sport, I think, is we get to November, we get to this time of year, and you got to win your games, but then you also spend the next 6 days trying to put together the formula that it's going to take for your team to get into the playoffs. So you want this team to lose, you need that team to win, and you need to look good while you're doing it. So it's a fun time of year, and certainly we've got one of the fun games tonight down here in Waco.
Yeah, if you start doing that, I was looking at the matchup, for example, for the ACC title game. It looks pretty clear-cut, Clemson or Wake Forest in the Atlantic Division, but down in the Coastal, going into this weekend, there's over 1,000 possibilities and scenarios which team will be taking on the winner of the Atlantic, and it's like, yeah, stop with that. Just let the games play out.
Well, we love it, though. I mean, that's what sports radio is for. That's what Twitter is for, so... And everybody thinks they've got the right answer on what's going to happen. So I guess we'll just let the players and coaches figure some of it out tonight.
You know, here's the thing, and most likely we are talking about with the fact that Baylor, no losses in Big 12 play, Oklahoma with one, Texas with two, everybody else three or more. And so it looks like that this could be possibly the first of a two-part series between Baylor and Oklahoma this year.
It's the interesting thing about the Big 12 is that everybody plays everybody, so you're guaranteed a rematch in the conference title game, and you're also guaranteed that the two best teams are going to play each other, which isn't the case in any of the other conferences. In fact, rarely is it the case where you have the two teams that everybody considers the two best teams that play for the conference championship. So, it's likely that OU and Baylor will see each other again here in about 3 weeks. Certainly Texas could still have something to say about that. Texas will be down here in Waco next weekend and has a chance to play itself back into the conference championship game. But last year it happened. Obviously OU and Texas ended up playing twice, and we could be headed for the first of two Sooners and Bears matchups.
I mean, Toby, here's a Baylor team with a win tonight. It's their first 10-0 start in school history. I'm also looking at, from a historic standpoint, and look, it has nothing to do with this year. I get that. But just from a law of averages standpoint, since the Big 12 went to this round-robin format back in 2011, only one team, that was Oklahoma back in 2016, went through their 9-game conference schedule unbeaten, which obviously bodes well for Oklahoma tonight.
I tell you, I think Baylor's one of the remarkable stories in all of college football. What they have done here following the end of the Art Briles era, when they were just completely down and out, Matt Rhule inherited an awful situation here, both on the field and certainly off of it. And 2 years ago, not a long time ago, 2 years ago, they went 1-11, and their recruiting was hampered by some penalties, and it looked bleak, and players didn't want to come here because of all the scandal that was surrounding it. And in 2 years' time, he has made them into not just a Big 12 title contender, but with a win tonight, a legitimate opportunity to get to the college football playoff. So I respect the heck out of what Matt Rhule has done down here. He seems like he's doing it the right way, and he is a great coach in late-game situations. They've won 4 games this year by either a field goal at the buzzer or in overtime. So the Sooners have their hands full. This is a resilient football team in Baylor that's been through a lot.
All right, what about, let's look at the Oklahoma situation. I'm sure the fans still, even now, and it's been, you look at the fact that the Sooners have already had another game since that loss to Kansas State. How much is that loss still stinging the team? Because, Oklahoma was a heavy favorite against Kansas State. But we've seen this so many times this year where teams as 3-touchdown favorites. In fact, you can go over the last 4 years. I was using a Clemson example back in 2016, a team that even after the polls are released, after the second week, they lose to a Pittsburgh team they were 3-touchdown favorite over and still make it to the playoffs and still win the national title. But it seems like more and more, especially like this year, a lot of heavy favorites going down. Forget about the other team keeping it close. We're talking about teams winning outright.
Yeah, Georgia lost to South Carolina and Wisconsin lost to Illinois. Now fans are still, I think they're just asking themselves what happened to this team. Oklahoma looked so good through the first 7 games of the season, especially on defense, where they have struggled mightily the last few years. And then the last 2 weeks or the last 2 games have looked like a completely different football team. Defensively, they've not been good at all. Jalen Hurts has not been as good the last couple of weeks. So they're just trying to figure out, you know, what happened. And more importantly, is it possible to put the pickle back in the jar, you know, the toothpaste back in the tube? Can they go back to playing like they were 3 weeks ago? If so, that Oklahoma team is a national title contender, certainly a college football playoff contender. But if not, if they don't play better defense tonight than they did at Kansas State, than they did even last week at home against Iowa State when it came down to a 2-point conversion try, then they're going to get beat tonight here in Waco. So I think that's the question Sooner fans have. About 3 weeks ago, they were really feeling salty about their team and about its chances that maybe this was the year. And now I would say confidence is waning a bit.
You know, it's interesting. This has always been a part of college football, and it's maybe it's more amplified now with social media. I look at teams currently outside the top four that control their own destiny. To me, Minnesota's one, Baylor the other one. Everybody else, they got to take care of their own business and then also be pulling against other teams. You know, I'm pretty sure that if you look at it from a Big 12 perspective, you're looking for someone to upset Clemson, for example.
There's no doubt Oklahoma needs some help. They need to win out and look good doing so, and then some other things are going to have to happen for them to get back in this thing. I think the Pac-12 is a problem. I think you need maybe Oregon to take a loss along the way. I think you need probably LSU to win out so that it's a lesser chance anyway that the SEC can get 2 teams in. A Clemson loss would be fantastic. It's just, from OU's perspective, it's just hard to imagine, you know, that happening with the remaining schedule that they have, unless South Carolina can pull off another shocking upset this season. So, yeah, I mean, but that's the position you're in this time of year. If you lose a game, then you got to, that's when you start rooting for everybody else to help you out a little bit. If you're undefeated and in a Power 5 conference, you win them all, you're getting in. But as soon as you lose a game, then you got to have some friends help you out along the way, and certainly that's the position Oklahoma's in now.
Hey, if you would, talk about Jalen Hurts, you know, through his 9 games with the Sooners. The play of Jalen Hurts with this transition from Alabama.
He's been fantastic. You know, obviously we watched Jalen from afar the last few years and watched the way he handled with such class the transition to Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback for them. And I thought when he came to Oklahoma that he'd be effective and that he'd hurt teams with his legs for sure, and that Lincoln Riley would be able to make him into a better passer. But I have been surprised at just how good he's been at throwing the ball. He's been better than I imagined. He has indeed hurt teams with his legs for sure, but his touchdown-to-interception ratio, his pass efficiency rating, his completion percentage, all of those passing statistics have been off the charts for him this year. And that has been a surprise to me. He's a great leader. He's obviously seen a lot. He's played in the biggest of games. And so he's brought that expertise and that leadership to campus, which has been valuable. But his play at quarterback has been extraordinary.
By the way, I know it's still 2 Saturdays from now, and all the concentration, if you're a player, you're thinking about Baylor. But I've got the contest with Oklahoma taking on Oklahoma State absolutely circled. Forget it. You know, you got Jalen Hurts on one side, wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, and then with Oklahoma State, he already has over 1,600 rushing yards this year, and Chuba Hubbard with Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he's something else. And they got a quarterback in Spencer Sanders up there in Stillwater that can really go too. So, hey, man, a bedlam is always fun. It's always heated. And anytime the Sooners have to go into Stillwater, they don't like them very much up there. So it'll be that'll be a fun contest, and I hope that it's important. You know, Oklahoma's got to take care of business the next couple of weeks to make that game one that matters a whole bunch.
By the way, I've said this to you privately, but I'll say it publicly as well. You know, if you're aspiring play-by-play a voice and you were thinking about getting the best of the best out there, I've had a chance and opportunity over the past couple of years to catch some of your work, and you just do an outstanding job of telling. You know what you remind me of? It reminds me of the day back when I was a kid where your favorite team only played five times on television over a two-year period of time. So you got to know your team. You got to see the pictures painted by the voice of your favorite team. In my case, I grew up a fan of Alabama, but caught a lot of Alabama and Auburn broadcasts. You remind me of that, and I mean that as the utmost compliment, because I can certainly see a young boy or young girl listening to you and getting caught up in their favorite team.
Well, thank you, Johnny. I really do appreciate that. That's very nice of you. I know you know your radio, so that coming from you, that means a lot. I really appreciate
that.
Well,
you and your crew, you do a wonderful job, and give them also a nice compliment for me as well.
I will do that. Thank you.
All right,
Toby. Enjoy the games today, Johnny.
Hey, you too, and I'm sure you're going to have a good time tonight with the Baylor contest, but thank you for taking time out with us.
All right, talk to you later.